What's going on, PGM fam? Welcome back to another episode with us. You know, Mike, I've been very excited to have this episode for a number of reasons. One, this list that we're going to go through, there's a lot of stuff that we're going to be dissecting in this episode. But more importantly, I think this is the first episode in a while where you and I are able to just take that step back and really touch on something that hits home for us. But you know, for me, I'm excited for you to just really just drop some gems in this episode. So before we kind of unroll and dive into the main topic of today, I want to have a check-in with you because I know it's been a few days. I got to ask, you know, we're now in the summer. Have you taken some time off? I know the school year just ended. I'm curious how you're spending your time nowadays. I know you've got a lot on your plate still, but how's life treating you, man? What's going on?
Yo, what's going on, man? I think honestly for me, you know, the school year ended about, I say, 2.5 weeks ago. And it's not but all sorts of amazing. But on a serious note, though, you know, I ended the semester and I had literally like a week off before I taught summer school. And I think that summer school experience kind of redefined my why as to why I went into education. You know, I was able to go back to my alma mater, high school, and embrace and engage in opportunities with middle school students all across my district. And we just engaged in like relationship building, talking about personal skills, etiquette skills, also talking about communication skills, and just exposing them to different career pathways. Because you know, oftentimes on social media, you may see, well, I didn't see that in school, or they didn't offer that, or I didn't gain exposure to anything like that. So I'm happy that my district has taken the initiative to begin to expose students to different career pathways. And though we ended it with going on like a field trip and leaving the county, and for some of them that was their first time ever going outside of Duplin County, and for me it was just like, oh wow, like going back to like that why, like I want to get into education, but also helping me to understand, okay, I have to keep this in mind and keep this at the forefront. Now that I have already gained that experience, how can I continue to pave it forward for other people, but also help other people and bring awareness to the situation? Because believe it or not, it wasn't all students in Duplin County. It was like just a select few of students who was interested and they applied and got in. So that experience was very refreshing, and it lasted about 2 weeks, and I was able to, like I said, get closer to my why and be able to see how I would like to continue my work in education. And so with this upcoming week and the remainder of the summer, you know, I plan to spend some time on reflecting. I'm a huge advocate on understanding how I showed up and why I showed up like this, so that I can make some changes, whether I go back into my previous role as I served last year, or if I'm going to another location, or whatever the case may be. But I'm reflecting on that so that I can show up even better, and then understand what I need to get rid of, what I need to add. And so I think for me, for the next couple of weeks, that's what I'm going to be doing, spending some time with myself, unpacking some things, and also just making some time to actually leave Duplin County and do a little bit of traveling, even though like I'm on a little budget here.
Right.
I'm trying to do some things financially towards the end of the year and for my upcoming birthday next year. So, you know, I think for me, these next few weeks is going to be more so like chill, relaxing, kick back, let's reflect, but also let's enjoy the nature, and let's enjoy this summer break while I have it ahead.
That's awesome, man. I think you talked on a number of things. You know, one, you kind of hinted on the importance of taking that step back. I think a lot of folks, we're always about grind, grind, grind. I think that's just kind of how our culture is. But I love how you talked about, you know, I'm taking that step back. I'm going to refocus. I'm going to spend some time kind of outside of where I'm at, just to find some clarity and redefine your why, redefine your goals. The second thing I want to hint on, man, is how did the kids love the experience? Because I know that's something that a lot of places that I know, some places do it. But, you know, having that type of exposure, getting them into whether it's a business or I think I saw on social media they were doing something with Legos. So I'm curious, like, what was that experience like for them?
Yeah, so there was like different stations set up for the summer camp, and like the station that I was able to run and facilitate was dealing with spikes and dealing with coding. So ultimately they had to understand the importance of speed, accuracy, and using data to input different coding methods. And mm-hmm. that's how they were able to get that outcome to make the robot do whatever they wanted to do. And then the system is like legoeducation.com. And literally we have the kits, and literally they was just using different codes to build different things. But the ultimate thing that I was happy that I was able to get something out of was understanding how a lot of kids in this generation don't like to work together. Mm. They lack those social skills to be able to collaborate effectively with their peers. So in my groups that I seen coming, a lot of them like, can I work by myself? And I'm just like, all right, cool. Yeah, that's no problem. Especially if it was an odd group. But then when I noticed something, I was just like, yo, those who work by themselves, they have no problem with getting the assignment done. But those who work in a group, they struggle, because when they got to the point where they was disagreeing with what they wanted to do next, that's when they didn't know how to work through that. So I just had to go over there and like be the facilitator, like, hey, all right, so where did we go wrong? What's going on? And so they're like, no, I wanted to do it. I want to do it like this. And one like, I want to do it like this. And I'm just like, all right, cool. So, mm-hmm. you know, let's take a step back. Maybe let's take a 2-minute break. You go get some water and let's come back and let's look at the directions and let's see where we need to go back and apply. And mm-hmm. then the ones that work by themselves, it took them less than an hour to actually get the assignment done. I'm just like, yo, wow. But it goes back to what our job market and what they need. And a lot of the community organizations are telling us, like, kids are graduating lacking those collaboration skills. And I'm seeing it firsthand, because, you know, I stepped out of the classroom like 2 years ago, mm-hmm. and that's when I was just like, okay, so now I see what they're talking about. But coming from a student perspective, a lot of them were able to say that they were able to understand the importance of collaborating and how to problem solve whenever they disagree with one another. I know another one was just like, he appreciated going to ECU, to the virtual reality lab, and being able to understand like how to run a business and like entrepreneurship lens. And so many others, they were just like, they didn't know how to like dissect. I think they also dissected a pig. They mm-hmm. learned about when the pigs are born, how they have to like cut their teeth out and all, to go through that whole process.
Lord.
It's just like how boys get circumcised. It's just like you have to circumcise a pig. Yeah. And then that this area is more agriculture, and we focus on like farming, and we have a hall plant and different types of plants here. It's exposing kids to those opportunities as well as the other opportunities as it relates to STEM. So from, I would say overall, the kids enjoyed it. It was, it's a camp that is often held throughout the school year. Okay. But I think this particular year, they offered it during the summer only, and students were able to get, gain a benefit from it.
That's dope, man. I'm a little jealous of the kids, because that's something that I never had. I think I got exposed. I've been blessed. I got exposed to different mentors, and I know my siblings went through some summer programs kind of growing up, but to have that hands-on mm-hmm. experience, to, you know, teach the importance of leadership, teach the importance of teamwork. How do you solve a problem? I think that's extremely crucial, especially when we start looking at how, even just how society's running. I know business mm-hmm. is obviously crucial. I know in everyday work, everybody works in teams. So, you know, getting that skill set, having those opportunities is going to be big, especially going down the road for them.
And not only that, it's also like when it comes to like your family, you know, mm-hmm. whenever you encounter a conflict or a dispute between your wife, your cousin, your brother, whoever the case may be, it's just like, how do you handle this situation? Are you going to disengage and walk away, or are you going to engage? And sometimes you do need to disengage, and sometimes you do need to walk away, mm-hmm. but are you going to come back and work out the situation so that you can move forward to the next step? Because sometimes whatever is holding us back, or whatever the conflict is that is causing us to get clashed with every single person on this particular journey that we're on, is mm-hmm. preventing us from stepping into the next level that we're supposed to see that. So if we can grasp that skill now and be able to apply in different areas in our life, we can possibly be much more successful. But success is determined by the individual's definition.
I love it. Well, with that note, because it seems like you all want to go ahead and start dropping a little bit of gems, You know, one of the things that I talked about early on in this episode is how much I've been looking forward to this. Mm-hmm. And I say this because I know your story and I'm still learning your story as your boy. But you, as somebody who's been instrumental in my life, as somebody who's been instrumental in a lot of other lives, you know, you've been preaching about, hey, Josh, you know, I'm creating this list. These are not only things that I live by, but they're things that I want to give to the people, just give to the people in general, so that way they can continue to grow. So you sent me over these 9 steps to reclaiming your life. And I know that throughout your story, these have been things that have been formulated just from life experiences, things that you've taken away from different circumstances. And so for this episode, man, you know, I'm really looking forward to this discussion. So I'm real curious, man. You have these 9 steps. How'd they come about, and how did you shape them, and why are they so important to you?
That's a question that it comes with 30 years of living on this side of the earth.
Yeah.
You know. As you are aware that for me, you know, I wouldn't say the life I had was easy. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say the life I had was extremely hard and difficult, but I would say there was a lot of challenges that allowed me to develop a mindset that I have today.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for me, all in all, whenever I look at the list, it's a list that was developed based on how I lived my life and how I got to where I am currently. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, in that process, I was just like, 9 steps to reclaim your life. What about the people who already have their life? They just need some guidance on how to move forward to a greater or elevate to another level. And I say, well, you know, you have to apply what you need to apply and then move forward. Cause sometimes mm-hmm. it's just like looking at certain situations in other people's lives. Sometimes you may be at step 5, you don't need step 1 through 4. Okay. So carry on with step 6, or look at the overall list and say, how can this actually be applied to my life? And so you have to take what's at face value and apply it where it needs to be applied. But you have to know how to do that in the sense of knowing who you are mm-hmm. and where you stand with yourself in an authentic space. And I think for me, it's just looking at each individual step. Like for example, step 1, you know, listen, oftentimes our bodies, it tells us a lot. We mm-hmm. don't listen. You know, we could be riding down the road or working out or doing something, and next thing you know it, we, something is given to us. We're like, I don't know where that came from. Or we can feel a particular pain or experience or something like that. And we don't necessarily listen. We just kind of push it off to the side. Like, oh, that wasn't nothing. Mm-hmm. But like 2 years later or 2 days later or 2 hours later, the same thing is coming back. And, you know, it's just like, we're not listening to it. And at the end of the day, it's just like, okay. And we're saying, well, I don't know why I'm not getting anywhere. I don't know why my life is not progressing. Like, what do I need to do? And sometimes you just need to listen. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in my current role, one of the questions I started a PD session off with was, when was the last time you listened to your own breathing? That was a question that a lot of people were like, what? That doesn't make sense. I'm like, but it's a real question. When was the last time you listened to your own breathing?
Yeah.
And for me, that's like, when the last time you actually sat down and just took a deep breath and meditated and just reflected on like where you currently are as an individual. And it went to, you know, going to step 2, step 3, step 4, step 5. And then to the point where my life journey, but the steps that I took to get where I am today.
That's, man, you spoke on a lot. And I know we kind of, you were talking about step 3, step 4, step 5. Real quick, I just want to, and we'll dive a little bit more into many of the steps, but I know you've got step 1 you just hinted on was listen. Mm-hmm. Step 2, cut the denial soundtrack. And I'm giving these off to our audience so that way if they want to go back and revisit or reach out to you, they know where they're at in the process. But step 3, evaluate impact. Step 4, get help. 5, trust the process. 6, protect your energy. 7, be consistent. 8, forgive, and step 9, live. So I know we kind of chatted a little bit on listen. It is important to listen what's going around you, listen what's going on with your body. But that second step is pretty serious. And I love the title, but cut the denial soundtrack. You know, when I read this, and I know this is something that's going on in my life personally, it's just, you know, you have those moments where you're like, nah, it can't be me. Or like, nah, like, what's going on isn't realistic. But in reality, we don't take that step back to actually like look at what's really going on, get the clarity, move forward. So can you talk a little bit about, you know, how this step came about, and just dive a little deeper into it for us?
Hey, I was actually battling with this particular step, and I don't think I can move on without acknowledging, like, oftentimes we try to get into relationships and they for love and love from other people, but we refuse to understand that in order to love somebody, you have to love yourself first. And, you know, listening to your body and honoring its signals is the first step to self-love. And, you know, for me, that was something that I was kind of anal about. Like, I want to love myself. I want to be able to sit with myself. I want to be able to go into restaurants and be able to have a drink or lunch or dinner and not feel like I'm just singled out and other people are looking at me and just like making fun of me because I'm single and I'm by myself. And so, you know, for me, in order to get to that cut the denial soundtrack, I think I had to understand the importance of self-love in order to actually listen, to understand my body, but listen and to be aware of my actions and how it was impacting other people. But going into step 2, cutting the denial soundtrack, you know, for me, honestly, Gandhi, it takes you hurting other people to understand how your actions are impacting other people. And for me, you know, I wasn't aware of that until I would say maybe 2-3 years ago when I learned about the difference between intent versus impact. You know, your intentions were great and for good, and they didn't come from malicious in place or, you know, have any malicious intent behind it. But at the end of the day, your impact was still significant on that other person. And, you know, it's hard to heal and be able to move forward in life if you don't I'm not going to necessarily say agree, but acknowledge. And once you acknowledge, it's easier for you to be able to not necessarily admit it, but begin to understand how it's impacting who you are as an individual, which goes to step 3.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. But going back to step 2, you know, hurt people, hurt other people. That don't always have to be the case. And it takes accountability. It takes your boys holding you accountable. It takes your family. It takes whoever it may be to hold you accountable. Like, so if you showing up being an asshole, somebody need to check you because that's not cool.
Right.
And so I get, and you know, oftentimes people say, well, that's who he is. But that's not okay. That's not okay. So I suppose a suffer because you've been hurt by somebody else and you haven't taken the time to get yourself together. Tell me how that worked. You know?
Yeah.
So going to cutting the denial soundtrack is once you're listening to your body, you are now aware. You may not know what it is and you may not be able to identify it, but you're now aware, and that's what's really important. And that's how, for me, it helped me to cut the denial soundtrack. And when I say cut the denial soundtrack, a lot of people are like, yo, Mike, you was an asshole, bro. Like, you were an asshole. And once they started naming off the different stuff, I was just like, dang, me? Me?
Yeah. Me?
And so I really didn't take full thought and consideration on how I was impacting other people. It was more so I was hurt, I was abused, and I wanted the world to know. But how I expressed that was completely in a way that was ruining relationships with other people.
You spoke on accepting, and I think we all run into this as people, where we sometimes dwell in the past, and you kind of indicated that as you were talking about step two here, but sometimes just accepting is enough. Can you go a little bit deeper into that? Because I think, you know, sometimes our past kind of just grapples onto us, and it's something that we just continue to carry. And to your point, you were saying, you know, it was impacting loved ones, it was impacting people around us. But sometimes accepting is hard. I know that's something me personally, I'm working through in therapy, with family, with some other friends, and just some things that have come up in my past. So can you dive a little bit deeper into the accepting? Like, when do you know, or in your experience, when do you know where you're like, you know what, I recognize it, enough is enough. Like, I see what's going on, I'm working towards it, or I got to take a step back. Like, how do you go about handling that process?
For me, I went about the process by, you know, I was a loner growing up. I had friends and I had people who are engaged in conversation, mm-hmm. but for me, I was a loner. I didn't really want to be involved in much social events. I didn't want to, even as an adult, like, I'm not saying I'm antisocial, I have social problems or anything like that, but it's more so me, that's who I am, and that's who I've grown to be, and I have accepted the fact that that is okay, because I know how to network and get and go where I need to go in order to reach the success that is defined by me. Mm-hmm. But I think for me, it was impossible for me to move to any step and move forward with healing without admitting that mm-hmm. there was something that was wrong. Mm-hmm. And I know we live in a very politically correct world where people don't say, well, we don't like to call problems. Nah, I had a problem. Mm-hmm. And it needed to be addressed. And for me, how I went about doing that was, you know, we tried the therapy thing. It didn't work. It didn't work growing up. The man said it was nothing he can do for me. Yeah. We tried the alternative school route. It didn't work. We tried the different educational settings. That didn't work. But it took for me somebody to, like, call my behavior out and me to actually be sitting by myself one day. And I used to literally question myself, like, why does my relationships with other people don't last or don't go how I wanted them to go? And, you know, you were like, you hear different reasonings for as different things that come to your head, but mm-hmm. then you're like, nah, that's them. That ain't me. That's them. Like, that ain't me. Because, like, to this day, jokingly, when I hear people say, like, yeah, Mike, like, you came a long way, I'm like, nah, it was just a misunderstanding between me and adults. Like, they misunderstood who I was. But, like, literally, it took for me to, I think, I got my first job as an adult. And I realized how other adults were acting. I'm just like, I hear you say you care about kids, but ain't no way in the hell you care about kids acting like that and treating them this way. Mm-hmm. And I think for me, it took me being sick and tired of being sick and tired. And once you get to that particular point of, like, you're done crying, mm-hmm. you're done with, like, therapy. Yeah, that's cool and it's helping, but therapy only works if you're honest with yourself. Mm-hmm. And if you're there to do the work that's going to help you get to where you're trying to go. I think once you get to those points where there's no other, and for me, there is no other, you can't see another resolution of living in denial that you're not the problem, you will never get to the point where healing is possible for you without addressing that first. And for me, it was that root issue. Understanding, yes, a lot of things have happened in my family to the point where I've had somebody say, well, since your dad was a divorce, you're going to, statistics show that you're going to get a divorce as well.
Right.
Also had people to say, well, 99% of the time, family trauma and generational curses will be passed down to the next child. And so carrying all those beliefs, for me, that's what it was. And I think it was like leaving an environment that has hurt me the most, and like going to NC State was a way for me to be able to realize, like, okay, I'm not different, but how I manage my emotions is not, it's not cool.
Right.
It's not cool. And it's not okay. And it's not safe. Because I was beginning to engage in sexual behaviors where at the time my partner, it could have impacted her. I was beginning to engage in behaviors where legally I could have gotten in trouble. I was beginning to engage in a lot of things because, like I said, admitting that something is off is the number one. It's scary as hell.
Yeah.
It's so scary. And once you keep coming back to this position where you feel like, nah, it's not me, it's this person or it's something else, then it's just like, okay, why is it you? Or why is it this situation? Or why is it this particular belief is keeping you from moving forward? And so for me, I had to unpack that. And believe it or not, I appreciated those moments of accountability that I had to engage in, because it got me to the point where I was able to understand the impact. Because one, that awareness, and two, the admitting. And like, once you have lost every single thing and you're down to like rock bottom, and sometimes God, I believe God created the rock. So, and that's okay. And sometimes you have to let people hit rock bottom. But for me, once you hit rock bottom and you really, and you get down dirty and naked to the point where all you have left is yourself, you will realize a lot of things about yourself.
Right.
And I think that's how it happened for me.
So let's build on that, man. So, you know, you talked about impact, right? The next step I would say in this process is you've got get help. And you know, I know you had mentioned, sometimes you got to hit rock bottom. I think all of us kind of go through a process where, eventually you can kind of point blame. You can self deflect, but eventually everything comes full circle and it's going to put you in a position, where you got to make some calls. And so for folks who, are tuning in, you know, they're taking this list and maybe they're looking at this list and they'd be like, ah, like I'm, you know, maybe I'm at step three or I'm at step two. You know, that process of healing, that process of figuring out the next step, to put you on the right track. You know, for you, from your story, what did you have to do to navigate that? But I think on the flip side to that, and I know this is kind of a long-winded question, but, for the folks in the audience, what can they do, and take those first steps? Because I know everybody's journey is a little different. But I also know that the, you know, these steps are going to help people get back, on the path that they can, to where they want to get.
Do you mind restating that question again?
Yeah. I know it was kind of long. So, my question to you is around this fourth step of getting help. So, when we think about your journey, you know, what did you do? Like, as you hit rock bottom, what were the steps that you took, to put yourself on the right path? And then, you know, even from that experience, what would you tell other people who either have got a same journey as you or going through something else? Because everybody's got their own story. But what would you recommend they do, in order to put them back on that right path, especially as we're starting on step four?
For me, you know, what I did was, you know, I reached out to therapy. I reached out to I never could reach out to family because how we viewed problems within our community, is more so what happens in our household stays in our household. You know, don't be going out there and telling people about our business and stuff like that. And so that I was deeply rooted in that. And I think for me, it was more so understanding that going into a counseling program, how can you help other people if you haven't addressed your problems yourself. You know, that's when I had to go back to the point where at that time I had already started enrolling back in therapy. How are these beliefs, these cultural ties, how are they impacting my life and what area? You know, looking at the things as it goes back to, is it adding value or is it taken away? Mm-hmm. And understanding Maya Angelou's quote, you know, if you don't like something, you can change it. You know, that's not verbatim, but that it goes to that lines. And so for me, understanding that I have the power, I just have to understand how I need to utilize this power in order to get me where I want to be. And sometimes you don't know where you want to be. Because for me, I didn't. And I think the beauty about, well, I'm not even gonna call it a beauty, but you know, oftentimes adults, we say, we tell kids, you need to listen to adults and you need to do this. But sometimes, believe it or not, adults are just like kids. We don't, there's no code book to life. And we don't have it all figured out. And if you think you do, then you haven't had a rainy day, because mm-hmm. I promise you, it will humble you in a sense. But you know, for me, when it goes to getting help, it's after you have admitted that, okay, I'm not saying that there's something wrong with me, but I'm not happy. Mm-hmm. And it's also impacting how I show up, which is also impacting other areas, I'm sure. For me, it was a relationship and financial. Mm. And for other people, it's just like, what steps do you take to do that? I think you have to know kind of where you are in your process.
Yeah.
Because some people, believe it or not, they know what the problem is. They're not in denial. They know. And they genuinely want help, but they can't trust somebody because the last person who they trusted turn their back on them, or you know, whatever the case may be. And I think for me, it goes to considering certain things, you know, like the mindset, all about where is your mindset currently, what is your perspective like when it comes to get help, what is associated with that. Is it okay, you think help is at the church? Are you saying help is me smoking weed? Is it help me, my mindset is getting help is drinking all day? Where's your mindset? You know, for me, I was exposed to that lifestyle, but I knew quickly that wasn't for me. Mm-hmm. That wasn't for me. And then you have after you understand the mindset that you need to be in or your current mind state, it's important to understand the different type of help. You have therapy, you have self-help. And some people believe if I read this book, if I read your steps, I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm good. Cause that's giving me hope. And if for some people you have, I need an accountability partner. And it's just like going to the gym. You know, like if you don't have that drive to go to the gym and you like, I'm gonna go buy that membership on January the 1st. And by January the 31st or January the 2nd, you're back at the crib. And yeah. So it's like you understand the type of help you want. And what does that look like? And for me, I had to understand, I knew I was different in the sense where I had more patience than your average. And so as I was sitting in counseling sessions with my colleagues in grad school, it was just like, whenever I would speak, because they would tell us like, y'all need to come up with like a fake session and do all like practice interviews and whatnot. So we did that. But for me, whenever my counselor then, when she would speak, I was just like, you don't know shit you're talking about as it relates to understanding me. Because it was coming from a sense of, wow, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
It was pity. And I wasn't looking for pity, you know? Mm-hmm. It was more so I was just looking for a listening ear. And so that it goes back to understanding what type of help do you want? And then you have to be honest with people when you go to get help. Because mm-hmm. if you're looking for help and it's like you're looking for someone to lie to you or give you what you want to hear, then that's not going to be helpful. Because how much help will you gain from that experience? And you know, for me, I think it was important for me to understand that this is what I have identified. And I'm sure there's more, but yeah. This is what I have identified as the number one thing that I have identified as an issue for my life. And this is how I would like to get help, and this is the goal in which I was trying to accomplish. How can you help me? And you know, just like when you go to a doctor, you don't go to a doctor asking them to look, you don't go to a foot doctor asking them to look at your eye. Like you have to go to specific people. If you're looking for financial assistance, you know, if you're looking for this, there's different people to provide different resources and services. And for me, I had to identify which one that I needed in order to be able to get the help that I needed. Because if you don't, you're going to go back to square one. And you're going to go back to square one. And then, you know, also within that process, let people help you. Let people help you. And if you don't like the way they talk, you don't like the way they act or the way they dress, what is causing that reaction? Identify that before you say that they are the problem. You know, it's important to, throughout this process, set your pride aside and break down some of the barriers and some of those curses that have been manifested over your life, whether it was by choice or by force, and start beginning to work to the steps of reclaiming your life. And like I said, it looks completely different for everyone. But for me, you know, mindset, having that mindset was important. Understanding the importance of self-help, you know, try to help yourself first. You know, if you say you want to lose weight, or for in my case, it was more so I wanted to change how I built relationships with other people. And I did that by loving myself first, you know, because, you know, sometimes people say they want help, but they're not willing to help themselves. And so understanding the importance of self-help and being specific whenever I ask for help, and then allowing other people to help me, because a lot of people can ask for help, but then when somebody try to help them, they like to do it their way. But remember, you asked me for help. So,
man, you, it's funny as you, as you're going through each of these steps, it just brings me back to, a time back in, what was it, 2018, 2019. I'm having flashbacks because it's like, it's one of those things where I was like, I swear you, man, you ahead of your time before you even published this list. Cause, you know, everything that you're talking about is true. You know, I've had those moments of self-denial. I've had those times where, how many times have I come to you and you're like, I gave you advice, but like, you gonna do it your way. So like, why are you gonna come to me for help as I'm genuinely trying to help you, but you haven't deviated or tried something to actually make a change in your life? So I think what you're saying is so important, which actually leads me to my next point. You talk about trusting the process and protecting your energy, which, you know, we hear a lot. I've heard athletes say it. I've heard you say it multiple times. And I think some folks, I would say from a process standpoint, and I think we all get into this, but sometimes we hesitate to trust the process, or sometimes we fall short in the process. So for example, if you know you're not supposed to be eating sweets, but you're going to get ice cream twice a week, that's, you know, that's going to have an impact on if you're trying to make changes. Or, you know, if you know you're supposed to, and I'll use me as an example, I'm supposed to be studying for this exam to get this certification that's supposed to help me in my career, but, you know, I still haven't completed it. And so it's delaying the next step in what I'm doing. And part of that is, you know, there's a lot of other things going on, but also part of it is I haven't protected my energy and I'm falling short in the process. So can you talk to us a little bit about why these two steps are extremely important? Because I know if you deviate or you fail to trust it, they can bring you back to step one, as you kind of indicated in the last step that we discussed.
Yeah, trust the process is often used, and I'm not going to elaborate on too much because I encourage everyone to head to my website and download the steps, and it's free. Just put in your email address and you are able to download it. But trust the process is necessary. Mm-hmm. It's just like when you plant a seed, it don't grow overnight. There's a season for every single thing that we experience. And you have to trust that when you plant that seed and you fertilize it and put the water and all the other things that you do to take care of it, that you have a faith that tomorrow, or when it's right, not tomorrow, but when it's right in its season, it's going to bloom and blossom to what it was intended to be. And that's kind of like how we set goals for ourselves. You know, yes, it's trust the process, but you need to put in some work too. But I think for me, in my stage of trusting the process, I go back to the point of, you know, faith don't make it easy. It just makes it possible. Mm-hmm. Learning to embrace failures. I think that was something that I struggled with, because whenever I failed, it was just like I failed myself, and I beat myself hard up. And I give an example, whenever I set out to, you know, go to grad school, undergrad, I took the lens of, I wanted to go to a school where I fit in and I belonged. But that's not necessarily how it happened. So I started off at, I did Central, and then for some reason they couldn't get it together with the admissions process. I got in, then I got a denial letter, then I got an acceptance letter, then I went to orientation, and then it was just all over the place. And then that's when I went to NC State. And that's when I was no longer, because back growing up, I used to be academically, I was average. Mm-hmm. But whenever I went to NC State, failures, I just thought that was a bus with a free ticket. Like, because I failed a lot. But that was my first time having to acknowledge that, in a sense of coming from a teenager to like a young adult and then off to college. And it was just like, you have to embrace failures. And then I use another example, you know, growing up and like used to fighting all the time, got kicked out of middle school, got sent to an Eckerd's camp, and then got graduated from the Eckerd's camp, and then went to high school. And I got sent to alternative schools twice. And to me, again, it's just like, I didn't embrace it in a positive way. I embraced it because I was like, you know what? Y'all want to call me bad? I'm going to show y'all what bad is. And that was the reputation and the mentality that I developed for myself. Mm-hmm. And ultimately that changed over time to who I am today. But it's just like, whenever you're going through that trust the process stage, you have to embrace failure. You have to embrace understanding that this is scary as hell, mm-hmm. but I trust what I planted, what I have faith in, it's going to be what it is in the end. And, you know, focus on the things that you can control throughout that process. You know, oftentimes we get so worried and frustrated because I like to have control. And if I can't have control, that's when I feel like I'm not doing what I'm supposed to, what I need to be doing. And so I feel like I'm off balance. But understanding that you can't always control everything, actually, for me, it relieves stress. Mm-hmm. For example, like when you say, you know what, Mike, I take care of the flyer for the back to school event. Hey, what's up? I appreciate you, fam. Hey, look, because the less things that I have to worry about and stress about, I can focus on myself. But yeah. Oh, Mike, I wouldn't want to have control of that. I wanted to be able to make sure it got out on time. But now I'm just learning to embrace, you know, hey, I got faith. He's going to get that done. Hey, yep. And if he don't, deadline extended, because I ain't doing it. You know? So, you know, and the last thing I would say, part of that trust the process again is like focusing on things that brings joy. Mm-hmm. You know, oftentimes throughout that trust the process, you know, we say, I want to be happy. And I know I used to say that a lot. I just want to be happy. Let's do things that's going to make you happy. And believe it or not, things that's going to make you happy, you can be happy this second and pissed off the next second. But it's just finding, like I said at the beginning of the show, is being able to find the things that's going to bring you joy. Mm-hmm. It was like being able to see the kids that have that aha moment, like, I want to do this, or I see how this is important. For me, that is part of my process, because that's now teaching me it is possible. And it's teaching me things as well, which leads to protect your energy. You know, I'm a big advocate on protecting your mental space, you know, decluttering, fully appreciating the small things, living in the moment, organization, learning how to slow down, but most importantly, setting those boundaries. Right. Whenever you leave work, you're not, no longer at work. Don't engage in work life behavior. Don't engage in anything that's going to be a distraction from where you're supposed to be. And I think for me, it just goes back to the process. Like, you know, you have gotten help. You're aware. You're going through the stages of beginning to believe in yourself. Trust in the process. And now throughout that process, you have to protect your energy, because if you don't, the naysayers, they're not going to see your vision. And I'm going to go ahead and tell you, my homies, some of my homies to this day, they were like, yo, you going to stay, bro? Nah, man, your behavior was bad as hell. And I'm just like, all right, I mean, I guess. And if you're not careful, that can become your narrative. What the naysayers are saying, because, and believe it or not, God didn't bless them with your vision. So they're not going to be able to see what you see. And that is okay. But understand throughout that process, just trust it that it's going to be what it needs to be, and protect your energy. And I don't say go through that process alone, but create a solid circle that's going to help you and support you, provide accountability, but also you will be able to bring something to the table as well.
I love it. And, you know, with this process and protecting your energy, I know we often preach, and I always, and I've heard it just being as an athlete, consistency. You know, work on a little bit each and every day. And I think that being consistent goes into trusting the process. And I know you always preach it's all about consistency, whether it's like you going to the gym, or, hey, you know what, I'm going to make sure that versus me getting 6 hours of sleep, I'm working on getting 7 hours of sleep or 8 hours of sleep, whatever it may be. So I'm curious with this next step, step seven, around consistency. How do you allow that to show up in your life? And two, for our audience, of course, what do you recommend they do to stay consistent? Because we joked a couple minutes ago about, you know, you may buy that gym membership January 1st, and then January 2nd, you back on the couch. So how do you ensure that as you're going along in this process, as you're going along on this journey to really reclaiming your life, how do you ensure that you don't follow short and you are remaining on this path to success?
I think for me, it was important to control my ego. Know when I was becoming defensive, when someone was holding myself accountable, and discipline. You know, throughout, I think for anything that you're trying to do, it's going to take discipline. And it's going to take you to understand that it's going back to like being okay with embracing failure. Going, for example, gym membership. You know, I just recently got I hired a trainer. And for me, that's big, because I'm really supporting this vision of health, not only being healthy mentally, but physically and emotionally. And so I think that is important. And, you know, I think maybe the other day I kind of got off a little bit. And I didn't go to the gym the next day. Like, I'm going to run and work this off. I'm just like, okay, I'm going to stick to my meal plan. I'm going to stick to my workouts. I'm going to stick to waking up at 4 o'clock in the morning. And it's okay, because like I said, you have to embrace failures, because that's part of the process. But don't beat yourself up for it. And I think that's okay to understand. It makes it more like, okay, I don't have to be perfect. And I'm not saying that's anyone's philosophy, but I know for me, that was my philosophy. I feel like I have to be perfect, and I'm very type A. Like, if I see it, I have to have a check mark for every single day on my workout, in my workout rings, because it makes me feel like I've accomplished something.
Right.
If I miss a day, I'm not going to beat myself up, because I'm committed to allow myself the grace to even be able to be present in this moment and acknowledging the fact this is where we are compared to 10 years ago. Right. So, you know, it's like feeding your spirit what it needs in order to be present currently. And I think for me, that's important. And that helps you with being consistent, because if you need to take a day off, you need to take a day off, because nothing gets me more than you got somebody that is maybe 500 pounds. And then they're watching somebody who's like 200 pounds doing pushups and like, come on, it's easy. You got it. No, the hell is not. No, it's not. I'm gonna tell you, the other day I thought I was about to die doing 30. So I get it. And it, for me, it's just like allowing yourself the grace, but understand if you fail or if you happen to fall short, it is okay. Don't go to the gym the next day trying to run on the treadmill to work whatever you ate off. Just pick up where you left off and carry on, because with that mindset, it shows that you're showing growth. And for me, and on our episode, on our show, you know, our theme is for this year is small steps equals growth. And for me, that was something I didn't do last year. So that's growth for me.
I love it, man. Keep on keeping on. You know, one of the things that I've kind of wondered throughout your process, and I kind of want to talk on it a little bit more. Step eight, you talk about forgiveness. And one of the things that is interesting to me, and I'm going to elaborate a little bit, but one, you have it laid on in the process. But for me, when I think about forgiveness and I look at everything that goes on in this list that you give, for some reason, everything can go good. But if you don't let that old part of you go, all the hard work that you've got going up to kind of like that point that whatever the ceiling is and you're about to break through, you'll struggle to break through that ceiling. So I kind of wonder, as you were crafting this list and you've got step eight as forgive, is that where you kind of fall in your process, or could you talk a little bit more about why it's important to forgive before you move into that point of live your life? Because I feel like if you don't forgive or you can't let go, you can't fully move on to the point of having that joy that we all seek. So talk to me, man.
So forgiveness is not for me. It wasn't necessarily for forgiving other people.
Okay.
It was forgiving myself.
Mm-hmm.
And though I have been hurt by so many other people to the point where they had then taken control of me and how I responded, which led to this list. And so I think I was able to forgive them early on versus later on before living. And, you know, we had this conversation before, and where I reached out to the individual and I told him, I'm like, you know, I understand two different lifestyles. We in two different places in our lives, but I forgive you. You know, I told my mother that. I haven't told my father yet, but I've told a lot of people that I forgive you, because I feel like a lot of their behaviors and beliefs, mindsets have manifested into my life, and it caused so much hardship on my end because I didn't know how to process that, to the point where it was hard for me to live. So I was able to forgive them, and not necessarily like go to them like, please forgive me, I'm sorry and I'm about to cry and all the other stuff, but it was more so, I forgive you. And for my family, I know that they did the best they could with what they had. But at the same time, once I forgave them, I never forgave myself. And that's where it goes back to hurt people, hurt other people.
Yep.
And it wasn't until, I think, when I was wrapping up therapy, and that's when he was like, have you ever forgiven yourself for holding yourself back from greater opportunities and just living your best life? I'm just like, what does forgiving yourself mean? And he was like, you tell me, what does it mean to you? And I think when I hear forgiving yourself, just forgiving yourself, it going back to allowing yourself grace, forgiving yourself for holding that much stress, pain, trauma, and hurt inside for so long and alone, to the point where it was becoming and turning into sickness. And every time you open your mouth, it just sounds like, bro, who the hell hurt you, dog? Like, you are one hurt man. Like, go get help. And so I got to a point where I was just like, okay, I get it. All right, I get it. And that's when I looked myself in the mirror one day. I was just like, Mike, I forgive you. Okay. Live, brother. It's okay. It's okay. Live. Mm-hmm. And I believe that's when I began to approach and see things differently, because I was no longer allowing that bondage and all that hurt and that pain to dictate and control and be the GPS for my life. It was more so, it was just like a new mind, a new spirit in a sense. And which brings me to the living part. And you have to define that for yourself. For me, it's meditation, it's journaling, it's being in alignment with what I believe in and not necessarily based off someone else's beliefs, is drinking my water and minding my own business. It's traveling to new places.
Yeah.
It's allowing people to be loud and wrong. You don't have to correct them. Let them be loud and wrong, because at the end of the day, how is correcting them going to help you? Especially when you already know who they are. Mm-hmm. Picking my battles. Understanding that no is a complete sentence. Another example is this past year, I called out 29 times, and that is okay. Because it was like, how can I show up for someone else when my cup is empty? And finding ways to replenish my cup. And that was, you know, massages, pedicures, haircut. I'm telling you, a black male, man, look, it's something about an edge up, man. When you get that edge up, you can't tell us nothing.
That's true. I can't relate right now, but you know, back in the day, I got you.
Taking more risk, and understanding that this journey that I'm on is not a destination. Mm-hmm. It's a process. And it's okay that your 27-year-old friends may be further ahead than you. It's okay to be intentional. It's okay to express love. It's okay to tell your homies you love them. It's okay to be vulnerable. It's okay to not believe the same things that your family believe in. It's okay to be grateful. It's okay to do whatever you want to do, but understand there are consequences. And I think for me, that's what it looks like, you know. And as I always end, you know, drink your water, get your rest, and mind your own business. Like, that's that. And, you know, PTO. And, but yeah, to add, you know, I would even add, you know, TV. Mm-hmm. And addictions that I had, understanding that addictions are real. And it's going back to being honest with yourself, because, you know, a lot of people, we have all different types of addictions, whether that's to pornography, whether that's to like food or whatever the case may be. It's important to understand that you need to let some of that go in order to live this new lifestyle that you have created. And like I said, if you've already gotten your life together and you feel like you're fine, this don't apply, that's perfectly fine. Mm-hmm. But this is for my people who feel lost and confused like I was. This process has helped me, and understand this is an ongoing process. Mm-hmm. Because 10 years from now, I could come back with part two, where, you know, this is a new approach.
I was gonna ask that, man. You know, I think, to your point, it is an ongoing process, but as you go throughout, you know, some people may be nines all the time. You live in your best life. But for the times that, and I'm assuming you can backtrack in the process, how do you check yourself and hold yourself accountable? Because I know, you know, there are times where as I'm looking at this list, where I'm like, you know what, like 3 out of the 4 weeks this month, smooth 9. But that last week, I'm over here questioning the process, so I may be back in 5. So like, how do you check yourself to make sure that you're not, you know, going back to step one or backtracking too far, in your journey?
I think, man, sometimes it's a thing called creating it to be a lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
For me, one of my greatest strengths is being self-aware, my self-awareness, which helps me to be mindful on how I show up and how my actions impact others. So I would never intentionally allow myself to get back to that part or to that point in my life. But when it comes to live, sometimes you got to kind of check yourself. And like I said, throughout that process, creating you a friend group or support group, you know, for me, I am a part of two support groups. They're online, and I encourage everyone that is listening to this episode to do it. You can do it discreetly. You can do it out in the open. However, support groups online, they are free. As a transformation coach, I recommend that to all of my clients, you know, get you a support group, because in that support group for me, I have one for Black male educators. And then I have one that is strictly for Black men who are working on this process of transforming their life as business owners. And so, you know, you have to engage in something that's going to help you hold yourself accountable, because it's easy to fall off and very hard to get back on track. And for me, I have engaged in those opportunities of investing in myself and understanding the importance of investing in yourself and building that human capital so that in the end, you won't be making the same mistake twice.
Mm. I love it, man. I love it. So I'm asking you, I want to ask you, you know, step nine is live. And I know we kind of did a check-in in the beginning of the episode, but, you know, where are you at in your own personal journey, man? Like, I know you've got a lot going on, you know, you just wrapped up the school year, you know, you got a few things that are on your list that you're trying to check. But where are you at in your journey? And have you fallen off? Or not, I wouldn't say fallen off, but have you backtracked? And how have you overcome it? So that way, again, you're continuing to ensure that this lifestyle that you've created is not only impacting yourself, because again, this does start with you, but how are you ensuring that it's touching the lives of other people? Because I know just looking at the nine steps, you made an impact on my life, and I kind of live this day in and day out. But you know, where are you at in this journey?
I flip-flop between step six and step nine.
Okay.
Protecting my energy and living my life. And step five is a constant process for me.
Mm-hmm.
Trusting the process. As you know, I'm in the process. And I'm constantly trying to find ways to protect my energy, because as an individual who has a big heart and a heart to give and a heart to love other people unconditionally and a heart to ensure that my family is good and a heart, I would take on your problems if I need to, because that's who I am, but I'm not. Mm-hmm. I'm in between step six and step nine daily. And I think that's part of my journey, that I would constantly find creative ways to create boundaries. There's this lady on TikTok, and she be coming up with, I think you shared one with me before, but I follow her on social media, and she tells you how to professionally respond to certain emails. I oftentimes engage in stuff like that because I'm trying to find creative ways to continue to protect my boundaries in a life where it's important to be visible. For example, with the return of Roe versus Wade,
yeah,
understanding that you have a right, you have a duty, as an individual who's in the helping field, to understand the importance and how it's going to impact your future clients and your clients currently, but understand, okay, I get it. It's time for me to take a step back and cut that off. That's not going to consume my life. And so just being aware of that whole process, like your triggers and the boundaries, I think on a daily basis, that's something that I'm constantly aware of and how I'm trying to fit it in. Because oftentimes I may not be able to live like I want to. For example, journaling. You know, do I have it right? I do. This has been my go-to. Some people can't see it because of the glare, but this has been my go-to. Like, it's a journal where I reflect daily, and it's a journal for men. And I constantly engage in thoughts and meditation. Every single morning I go to the gym, I meditate for 10 minutes afterwards, after my stretches. And so to answer your question, I hope that did answer your question. For me, it's step nine and six. Yeah.
Okay. That's dope. That's dope. Well, I do have, you kind of hinted on the beginning of the episode, but I want to ask for folks who want to get this list or they want to find additional details, where can they find this? Because I know there are folks who are going to want to tap in. I'm excited to just be sending this out to people because I know that there's some folks who need to hear and need to see this. So where can they find this information?
So, of course, so you can find this. Well, this list will be officially launched on July the 1st, and you can go to my LinkedIn page. I will have a link tree there that will also be connected to my website. If you don't have access to social media, we will also be sharing it on our platform, which is the Power of a Growth Mindset on Instagram and Facebook. And also you can go to my website, effective July the 1st is iammikej.com.
That's dope.
Yeah.
That's dope. Y'all heard it here, man. So I got one more thing for you, dog. You know, we as your boy, and as my best friend, you know, I have to tell you, man, one, I love you to death. Because these steps that you just walked through, they've had a big impact on me. I know I probably don't say it each and every day, but man, you've continued to touch my life, and you continue to be a light to others. So I appreciate you not only just sharing this list, but bringing it out into the world, because I know that there are going to be some people who are going to need it. I know I need these steps each and every day. I know I need to have those moments of self-reflection, and I know other folks are going to benefit from that as well. So, you know, thank you for continuing to be a light. Thank you for continuing to be a guide for folks. And I know we don't really say, oh, like, let's give these person this flowers, but man, like, if I could give you like a whole bouquet, I could give you a box of thank yous, man.
You don't have to give me a bouquet, but you can student loans, though.
Hey, man. Hey, look, I got some loans too. but man, I really do appreciate you, man. And as we wrap this up, any closing thoughts that you want to leave our audience from these nine steps, or just in general, for folks who are trying to really reclaim their life and get things back on track?
You know, oftentimes, you know, we say we want to live a life that we're chasing the bag. We all about the money. We are just all about these different things. But I strongly encourage everyone to just take some time after listening to this episode and jot down five things that brings you joy. And if you don't have five things, I encourage all of you to create five things. And within that list of five things, I encourage you to make one of those things spending time with yourself. Because it's good to have other people in your space. It's good to be involved within a culture that is embracing others' identities and all this, doing these great things for other people. But at the end of the day, when you go to bed at night, it's just you. And you may have a partner laying next to you, or two or three or four, that's your business. But I encourage you to identify some things in your life that brings you joy, so that you can begin to either live your best life or reclaim what you need to do to begin to live your best life. You know, for me, like I always said throughout this episode, drink your water and mind your business.
Well,
and again, this list will be on my website, IamMikeJames.com, on July the 1st.
Well, we love it, man. Again, thank you. And for the folks in the audience, y'all heard it here first. Check this man out. Get tapped into his website. Get tapped into this list and start incorporating this into your lifestyle. As we always say, it's the power of a growth mindset, and it all starts with you.